Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 70 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
This is what every other state wishes that they were seeing.
COVID-19 numbers are declining in the Commonwealth.
Proposed tax breaks may benefit more industries than individuals.
Kentucky's governor signed a series of vetoes yesterday.
The state juvenile justice system is under review.
A popular bourbon distillery is expanding.
In sports, the Round County girls basketball team enters the first round of the 16th region tournament tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 30% chance of showers tonight with a low around 53. Have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Encouraging trends continue in Kentucky's COVID-19 numbers, with spring break being the state's next challenge. So far, there is a test positivity rate below 3%. 10 straight weeks of declining new cases and vaccination operations are quickly ramping up. Governor Andy Beshear credits steps taken before Thanksgiving that he says again flattened Kentucky's overall curve of new cases. He warns spring break will reveal more about where the state actually stands in the race between vaccines and new strains of the virus.
We got these variants that can spread aggressively. But we also have a number of people with significant immunity from vaccinations or previous infections of a variant or the regular version of the virus.
The CDC has yet to issue new travel recommendations for those who have been vaccinated. But Beshear suggests anyone going out of state stick to Kentucky's guidelines, which means masking in public and in small spaces, avoiding packed restaurants, and keeping kids at home from school if they haven't been cautious on vacation.
As state lawmakers consider a slew of major last-minute tax breaks, critics say the moves may benefit large industries and businesses, but would do little for Kentucky families. Pam Thomas of Kentucky Center for Economic Policy says Kentucky's economy has sustained the pandemic better than economists thought it would, and notes the state budget has revenue above initial estimates. Rather than taking that revenue and using it to invest in communities, she says lawmakers are focused on shrinking government spending.
So it seems that in part the focus has been more on supporting, sustaining, and helping businesses and less on supporting, sustaining, and helping individuals.
The American Rescue Plan gives the Commonwealth more than $2 billion in direct aid, but has a strict provision against the funds being used directly or indirectly to pay for tax cuts.
Governor Beshear is taking the veto pen to a handful of bills he says run counter to the best interest of Kentuckians. Beshear signed a number of bills Monday, including one that caps the cost of a 30-day supply of insulin at $30. But he also took the red ink to a number of measures he's described as politically driven.
What we saw is bill after bill that attempted to take appointments, duties, and other things away from this governor's office. Same powers and duties that virtually every governor before me had had simply because of the last set of elections.
On that list was Senate Bill 228, which limits the governor to a choice of three nominees from the party of a departing senator when filling a U.S. Senate vacancy. Also vetoed were bills stripping the governor of powers relating to the State Board of Agriculture and the Fair Board, among other areas. If the vetoes are overturned, Beshear said he or other groups may consider legal action. The General Assembly has 2 days at the end of the month considering overriding bills or passing new legislation.
Officials with the Kentucky Education Association are calling on Governor Beshear to veto House Bill 563. WMKY's Carla Haight has the story.
The bill passed the Kentucky House with a one-vote margin with five representatives abstaining. House Bill 563 would create a tax credit fund for certain Kentucky families to send their child to a school outside of their district. KEA leaders were elected from 9 of the largest counties that would be affected by the passing of the bill. The counties that were selected are the public schools that are facing challenges from limited revenue. Leaders pointed out that the bill will help middle class and not the lower income families. Opponents say vetoing House Bill 563 will help give more money to the public school systems in Kentucky and help them get more adequate supplies for their students. For WMKY News, I'm Carla Haight.
Kentucky's Juvenile Justice Commissioner is under investigation, but state officials aren't offering any details about the nature of the probe. WUKY's Josh James has the story.
The Lexington Herald-Leader reports LaShawna Harris has been placed on leave during the Beshear administration review. While the State Justice and Public Safety Cabinet is acknowledging the investigation, the leader's request for any complaints or other documents relating to Harris's performance have been turned down. The Justice Cabinet is withholding any correspondence or complaints involved, arguing releasing them could, quote, prejudice witnesses and taint the investigation, end quote. Harris was appointed to the juvenile justice post in December 2019, but has been on a months-long leave. Prior to her appointment, Harris served as executive director of the State Office of the Inspector General for Regulated Child Care. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
The U.S. House approved the American Dream and Promise Act on Friday, which creates a process for undocumented immigrants brought into the country as children to become U.S. citizens. It expedites the process for deferred action for childhood arrival recipients by providing eligibility for green card status. As immigration program manager at the Intercommunity Justice and Peace Center in Cincinnati, Samantha Searles calls it a historic day.
DACA recipients have grown up in American society and know the United States as their only home. These are real bright young people in our communities that will see an immediate impact.
The proposal also would extend the path to citizenship for those with temporary protected status. The House on Thursday also approved the Farm Workforce Modernization Act. The proposal would extend the path to citizenship for those with temporary protected status. The House on Thursday also approved the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, which also provides a process for the millions of immigrant workers to establish permanent U.S. residency.
Child care businesses in Kentucky increased capacity to regular group sizes on Monday. It's a change that several centers across the state are excited about. When it comes to programs at the YMCA of Central Kentucky, the change means as long as a single space dedicated to child care is large enough, more kids can be placed there. Kevin Hari is the Senior Director of Program Operations. He tells LEX 18 it benefits the kids and the YMCA as a whole.
Even at the branches, it's allowed us to free up some space for members that we didn't currently have because it had been dedicated really since last March to childcare.
Many are looking forward to seeing more restrictions lifted as things open up and interacting with more children.
Woodford Reserve Distillery has announced plans for a major expansion. The company will double its operational capacity and production capacity by adding 8 fermenters and 6 pot stills to a new location, while increasing the number of tourists allowed to visit the building. Master distiller Chris Morris tells WKYT consumer support has helped their business financially in the past year.
People were going to their favorite package stores and picking up Woodford Reserve and enjoying drinks at home, and that just kept our growth going.
Construction will begin in spring 2021, and the company will open its new location by the end of summer 2022 at McCracken Pike in Lexington.
Ashland Community and Technical College recently announced plans to return to normal operations for the fall 2021 semester. WMKY's Megan Jones has a story.
Ashland Community and Technical College's president, Dr. Larry Ferguson, says the campus will fully operate for in-person classes starting in August. According to WSAZ, ACTC will continue to follow the governor's Healthy to Work guidelines and follow necessary precautions to make sure individuals on campus feel safe. Due to COVID-19 guidelines, daily temperature checks, classroom updates to accommodate social distancing, mask with hand sanitizer at each entrance, and thorough sanitizing of classrooms will be ensured to keep the campus running smoothly for the fall 2021 semester. For WMKY News, I'm Megan Jones.
Over the weekend, a viral TikTok trend started in South Williamson about a fake new Chick-fil-A opening in the winter 2021. Consumers are creating fake Facebook accounts for popular food chains, announcing their new store arrival in certain areas. Pike County Judge Executive Ray Jones tells WYMT the incident was not humorous and should not be taken as a joke.
A lot of people are hurting right now. We need good news. We don't need, you know, we don't need this type of thing. I really don't see any humor in it because, you know, when people see this, you know, they're encouraged by it. They get their hopes up only to find out it's a prank.
Jones says individuals should do more research before sharing information on social media.
Former Lexington Police Department officer Jervis Middleton has filed an appeal to get his job back. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has a story.
Middleton filed the appeal in Fayette Circuit Court Friday, claiming the termination of his employment was in violation of his rights. The appeal says Middleton should be reinstated with full back pay and benefits. According to LEX 18, investigators claim Middleton shared private police emails, text, and call sheets with organizers of the protest that took place in Lexington last summer. Last month, the Lexington-Fayette Urban County Council, serving as jurors, found Middleton guilty of two counts of violating police policies. He was found not guilty on one count of violating police policies. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon hours. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 69. Wednesday night, a 10% chance of showers, partly cloudy with a low around 54. Thursday, showers mainly afternoon, high near 69. Thursday night, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 4 a.m., then showers likely, low around 53.
On our feature segment today, Morehead State University Professor Dr. Philip Prater talks about the university's national ranking on the Vet Technician Program. WMKY's Carla Haight has a story.
The Morehead State University Associate of Applied Science and Veterinary Technology Program has been ranked second in the nation. Dr. Philip Prater is a professor of veterinary science at MSU. He says the ranking is a very prestigious honor.
You know, putting all those things together, it's a lot of work. And so to be recognized for that work is, I mean, that's a real honor. We have the backing of the university. We have great support from really the, you know, university administration on down through our department chair. And so everybody works as a really strong team here to make this program great. And so it is, it's, you know, we were really, really honored.
The program has many requirements and admits around 40 students each year. Prater thinks this is one attribute to their high ranking.
They must take a basic math class, like a technical math class. They have to take a basic biology class, and they have to take a basic chemistry class. And they have to have a 2.8 GPA for us to take them into the program. So we do have some requirements, and if they meet those requirements, then they're accepted into the program.
The Vet Tech program gives students many hands-on activities to help prepare them.
Vaccinations, so very similar to the things that they're going to do in practice, and they do that. They probably go through 4 to 6 surgeries a week for two solid semesters. A ton of hands-on.
Comes time for the certification exam, Prater explains the process in which students prepare.
After their associate degree, and then they take that generally this summer after they have graduated with their associate of applied science. It's a 200 question test, and it covers everything that has gone into, and we actually have a course that's taught in the very last semester they're here that is a kind of a prep course.
The Derrickson Agricultural Complex is one of the reasons why Prater thinks the program earned the ranking. He says they have new technology at the farm.
We have some new technology in the area of ultrasounding. So we do a lot of ultrasonography here, and our students are exposed to that. And so we have just recently purchased a brand new ultrasound machine, which you can actually differentiate between venous blood flow and arterial blood flow, and all those things. Those tend to be, you know, real cutting edge.
The program boosts high passage rates for the national exam, with more than 75% of MSU students passing. The program has also maintained a 100% job placement rate for several years. For WMKY News, I'm Carla Hay.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
It's 70 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Wiley Tanner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Lake and Hub has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this Tuesday evening.
The Lady Vikings enter the 16th region tournament tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Lakin Hupp. The 16th region girls basketball tournament gets underway in LST Johnson Arena this evening. First to tip off will be the Rowan County Senior High School Vikings against Morgan County at 5:30. Rowan coach Matt Stokes says while his girls were happy to get the district win last week, the celebration was short-lived and they've been working hard since then.
Once we figured out the draw and who we had, you know, we've really focused on them. We've had two really good practices, and we've had, you know, film session and all that kind of stuff. So our focus the last several days has been just on Morgan County and playing them tonight.
Boyd and Lewis County will face off following the Rowan-Morgan game. Tip-off for that contest is set for 8 o'clock. The semifinal round of the 16th Region Boys Basketball Tournament is all set. WMKY's Carla Haight reports.
The first matchup for the semifinals has been set since the weekend. In round one, contestants Wes Carter got the win over Raceland 72-54, and Ashland Blazer took down Bath County 69-36. The Comets and Tomcats will now tip off at LST Johnson Arena at 5:30 Thursday. Round and Boyd County will hit the floor following that game after getting their big wins last night. Boyd County beat Lewis County 50-39 in their game, with Round taking down Elliott County in their contest 54-37. Tip-off between the Vikings and Lions will be at 8 o'clock. For WMKY Sports, I'm Carla Haight.
The Morehead State University softball team will host a doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky University tomorrow afternoon. The Eagles are coming off a rough weekend, with three losses to Tennessee Tech. The Colonels stand at 14-7 on their season. MSU head coach Samantha Jones says her team is looking forward to the rivalry matchup.
We are thankful that we get to have this rivalry a couple times a year and not just one game like a lot of other sports. So it brings a new type of level of competitive edge to it. But yeah, I mean, it's been a long time.
Morehead State soccer team is on the road this week. They are facing off with 2-3 Gamecocks of Jacksonville State Friday afternoon. MSU head coach Warren Lipka says his team has found their niche with defenders.
You know, we're transitioning pretty well out of the back into the midfield and creating chances. It's just been that thorn of not finishing opportunities when we get them. And, you know, that's what we're just trying to work on is just, and being in front of the goal with some confidence and, you know, wanting, and it doesn't have to be pretty.
Game time on Friday is set for 4 p.m. As always, live stats will be available at msueagles.com. The Morehead State University football team is hoping to keep their momentum going after picking up their first win of the season during their home opener over the weekend. The Eagles took down Stetson 31-14 after seeing some major performances on both sides of the football. Head coach Rob Tenier says that this is a great opportunity for his Eagles to grow after missing last season due to the pandemic.
Been a long time, 17, 18 months without playing football. So we're starting, I hope that we're starting to get into a little bit of a rhythm now. And I think that we can be a little bit more explosive on some of our return game in our special teams, and then our PAT field goal kicking needs to, you know, be elevated as well.
The Eagles are back on the road this weekend. They'll be in North Carolina to take on Davidson Saturday. Kickoff is set for 1 o'clock. You can listen live on our sister station, WIVY. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Philip Lawson Real Estate and Auction, hosting an estate auction on March 27th at 10 a.m. Located in Frenchburg, Tract 1 includes a home and lot. Tract 2 and 3 are located near Cave Run Lake with 39 and 56 acres. Auctions will be held on Saturday, March 27th. Tract 1 begins at 10 a.m., Tracts 2 and 3 at 11:30 a.m. Philip Lawson, broker and auctioneer, serving the area since 1977. More information at 606-768-3583. Facebook and online at philiplawsonrealestate.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell in an afternoon slide led by companies tied with the economy reopening, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 308.05 at 32,423.15. The Standard & Poor's 500 was down 30.07 at 3910.52, and the NASDAQ Composite, despite some early strength, finished with a loss of 149.84 at 13,227.70. Industrials and materials were among the weakest sectors. The small-cap Russell 2000 dropped 3.6% for its worst day since June. Travel and leisure stocks were also under pressure as Carnival Cruise Line and Norwegian Cruise Line both dropped more than 7%. The selling was fueled by a WHO announcement that most global regions are seeing an increase in new COVID cases. In the commodities markets, oil was down 6.5%, finishing at $57.53 a barrel. Gold was down 0.625% at $1,726.50 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down 86 cents at $92.92, PPL Energy down 50 cents at $28.57, Marathon Petroleum down 91 cents at $52.44, App Harvest down 18 cents at $20.71, and Fifth Third Bank was down 88 cents to finish at $36.34. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at your region's extended weather forecast. For tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon hours. Otherwise, mostly cloudy with a high near 69. Wednesday night, a 10% chance of showers, partly cloudy with a low around 54. Thursday, showers, mainly afternoon, high near 69. Thursday night, showers and possibly a thunderstorm before 4 a.m. Then, showers likely, low around 53.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Jonathan Burton, Shamari Mosley, Heather Fannin, Sarah Mead, Lakin Hupp, Megan Jones, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Carla Haight. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.